This is a season for Thanksgiving, but as we sang a little bit earlier, we always have a reason to sing praise to God in every season. We're going to be continuing with this series about being forever grateful. As we do that, I want to call attention once more to my proposed definition for what I believe, biblically speaking, it means to be grateful. I believe it means to be full of feelings of joyful satisfaction, which will overflow in expressions of praise for the one who has blessed us. Now, that particular definition comes from the words that we find in our Bibles that are translated so often as grateful or gratitude or thanksgiving, but also from the overall concepts of gratefulness that I believe we find in the Scripture. And obviously, the one who has blessed us that we'll be considering most of all is God the Father. And we certainly should be having joyful satisfaction in our hearts for what He has done for us, and we should be overflowing with expressions of praise. Today, how are we going to do that? Well, I'd like us to give some thought to ways to express our gratefulness. If you think about it on a personal level, when someone blesses you, be it with a gift or an act of kindness, how do you show your gratitude to them? Just give some thought to that. I'm going to share some ways I think we typically do that and how we can apply those to how we should be expressing thanksgiving and gratitude, gratefulness to God. I think the first thing we do is we tend to do it verbally. And that's because it's in the moment. It's the most common way, right? When somebody blesses you, that we express verbally our gratitude. We probably just say things like, thanks, or thank you. If we're particularly grateful, we might say, I can't thank you enough, or I really, 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 really appreciate this. As simple as those words might seem, it means a lot to a giver to hear expressions of gratitude in that way. Sometimes we elaborate. You don't know how much this means to me. Words just can't express how grateful I am. Now, if we take it up another notch, we might tell others how blessed we are by someone's thoughtfulness. There's something especially complimentary in hearing from a third party that something you said or did or gave was appreciated. Have you ever recognized that, or have you noticed that? If someone says, you know what, I've heard about something you did for someone, or I've heard about your gracious and wonderful things that you've done for people, and when it comes from a third party, doesn't it seem to mean a little bit more? Consider these passages. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the peoples. Psalm 30 verse 4 says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Psalm 35, 18. I'll give you thanks in the great assembly. I'll praise you among many people. Psalm 95, 2. Let's come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let's shout joyfully to Him with psalms. We can, and we should, express gratitude to God in prayer. We can, and we should, sing praise to Him for all He's done. Even expressing our thankfulness sometimes with shouts of joy. We can, and we should, tell others how much we appreciate God's kindnesses and His blessings in our life. We can, and we should. Do we? Will we? Do that verbally, to speak those praises and words of thanksgiving, not only in church, in the great assembly, but out in our day-to-day activities. We should also express gratefulness in writing, I believe. If you've never written a thank you card, I'd suggest you've missed opportunities to express gratefulness. Have you not been touched by thank you cards that were given to you or sent to you, especially when they were personalized? Have you seen the benefit of that? At times, I've even thought that Hallmark might do well to make thank you for the thank you card cards. I think they're missing out on a whole opportunity there. Have you ever received a thank you letter? I have. And sometimes it's been just the encouragement I have needed to get me through the rest of my day. Thank you cards are especially precious, I believe, when they come from children. I know that parents or grandparents might be encouraging them to do this, maybe even assisting them a lot. Doesn't matter. Doesn't it warm your heart when you get a thank you card from a child? May I encourage you to write a thank you card to God? What might that look like? There's a sample in today's bulletin that I provided for you to actually to guide you through that process if you've never done that before. You can follow the suggestions there if you would like. If you're going to list all that he's done for you, though, you're going to need more room. You're going to need a bigger card. So you might even want to think about writing a letter to go. But what would be the point in that? What's the point in writing this out? Why write out a thank you card? Why write out a letter to God expressing our thanks? It's not like you can send it to him. Or can you? You may not have his physical address, but if you'll write down your expressions of gratitude, I assure you, he will get the message. The Holy Spirit will carry your thanksgiving to the heart of the Father. Paul assures us of that in Romans 8. He says that the Holy Spirit will make intercession for us. He'll intercede for us. Sometimes even in words that we couldn't utter. Again, if you've thought, well, I guess can't find the words. I don't know how to express this adequately. Do the best you can, and the Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. In Deuteronomy 6, verse 9, God's people were instructed to do something I think is quite interesting. We've been looking at that passage quite a bit on Sunday nights in our Care and Share group. But once the love of God and the teachings of God were written on their own hearts, and that was so very important, that those were first written on their own hearts, then they were told to write them on the door frames of your houses and gates. Why? Why? What was meant to be a visible reminder to all who passed by, especially those living under their roof, their children, maybe their children's children, friends and neighbors who would come to visit. But once again, reinforcing even for the person who wrote those things, the truth of them and the beauty of them in their own mind and heart. So writing the things out can help, again, to write even more indelibly in our own hearts the things that we should be expressing and remembering. So we can, and I believe we should, journal our heartfelt gratitude to God. Try it. And I believe you're going to find a blessing in the process as you recount your many blessings. Counting them, but recounting them. There's something incredible that I have found in when I not only think something, but I repeat it, I say it out loud, but writing it down as well, and then reading what I wrote. It just really helps, again, for that to become ingrained. And once it's ingrained on the heart, what will happen? It will overflow. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's what Jesus taught. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So write a thanksgiving card to God. We should also do it with gifts. Again, I'd be surprised if you've neither given nor received thank you gifts. Some token of appreciation for an act of kindness. A few weeks ago, one of the ladies in the church here gave Nina and I some fresh homemade bread as an expression of her gratefulness for our ministry. I confess to you, I fell off the wagon of my low-carb diet long enough to enjoy a piece, and I was thankful for her expression of thankfulness. Nina often gives what she calls little I love you gifts as tokens of appreciation for the ladies in her classes that she teaches. Any ladies ever receive any of those gifts? The kids in kids' worship, ask them. They'll know what Nina's little I love you gifts are. Servants in the church, whatever ministry you might be involved in, you may very well have received one of her little I love you gifts. And they're always meant to be expressions of not just love, but gratitude for what she sees that you're doing that blesses her. And you might think, well, wait a minute, all I do is come to her class. All I do is show up. Do you know what a great gift that is? How grateful teachers are for people who will come and take part in and benefit from what they've prepared. As far as Nina is concerned, it would be easier for me to list probably whom she hasn't given one to. It would be a short list. And if you haven't received one yet, she hasn't got to know you well enough yet, or hasn't had the opportunity. But she gives the I love you gifts, expressing gratefulness. Do you think we should give any I love you gifts to God? Any thank you gifts? The scriptures actually address the issue of thank you gifts for God. And here are just a few examples. Leviticus 2:29 says, when you offer, not if, when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. The New Testament would talk about not giving by compulsion, but being a cheerful giver. In Psalm 50:14, it says, offer to God thanksgiving, pay your vows to the Most High. Offer gifts of thanksgiving, sacrifices of thanksgiving. Now, if we're totally honest with one another, and we should be all the time, there may be times when we're not feeling particularly thankful. There may be things going on that really seems to be robbing us of our gratitude. We're, if you are overwhelmed, overshadowed by some bad news or sad news, or anticipating something that we're not sure about, that's just making us anxious, and it can rob us of that gratefulness. And it really may be, at that moment, at that precise moment in time, it may be hard to offer thanksgiving to God. We're going to talk more about that next week. But notice this idea, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. A sacrifice of thanksgiving. That implies to me that it's costing you something. And it may be costing you your feelings. It may cost you your feelings. You may have to get past your feelings to, again, focus upon. There, go back to the thank you card. Maybe looking at what have you written? What are you thankful for? What has God done in your life to remember those things and get past your feelings to express to God thanksgiving and gratitude? And of course, there's in the New Testament, Romans 12, verse 1, that says, in view of God's mercy, there's a mouthful right there. In view of God's mercy, understanding, recognizing, considering God's mercy. Now, how might you do that? How might you put God's mercy in view? Well, think about the thank you card. Think about the thank you letter. Think about just looking at the scripture. Look at the first 11 chapters of Romans. And what God has done for you is promising still to do. And then in view of God's mercy. See, it's written down. Look at it. Read it. And in view of God's mercy, understanding that, beginning to grasp that, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Some translators render that your reasonable service or your logical response. What is the logical response to God's mercy, or His grace, or His love, for His kindness, for His blessings? To offer ourselves. You want to give a thank you gift to God, offer yourselves. We should also be expressing gratefulness in our stewardship. Now, this has to do with managing our blessings responsibly. What do we do with what we have been blessed with, what we've been given? Most of us here, I think, would be upset if we learned that money we gave to a homeless person was used for drugs or alcohol. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that I hear often is people say, well, I'm not going to give them any money because I'm afraid they're going to use it for drugs or alcohol. Sometimes they say, I'm not going to give them anything because I'm afraid they'll go sell it to get money for drugs or alcohol. And if we found that was true, we'd probably be upset. That's not our intention in giving it, is it? It's to bless them with something we think would be good, beneficial, nutritious, healthy, right? So most of us would probably be a little bit put out, don't you think, if we thought that what we'd given was not used as intended. But think on that a minute. You think God could ever be disappointed in what people do with his gifts? Do you think people ever abuse them? Ever use them selfishly? Or maybe not even use them at all? Imagine that you gave someone a decorative wall hanging, but when you pay a visit a few weeks later, you don't see it displayed anywhere. Now, maybe you've been in that situation and you've given somebody something, you go to visit later, and you have a tendency, don't you, to kind of, you know, see where it might be? What do you think if you don't see it displayed? Now, there could be a legitimate reason why it's not being displayed, why it's not where you can see it. Nina and I received this beautiful anniversary plaque this summer that we really love. We really do. It is absolutely beautiful. But it has yet to be hung. Now, partially because we were in the process of redecorating when we got it. The other thing is now we're trying to find just the most appropriate place for it. Because it's beautiful. It's a cross that you can see from a distance. But if you get up close, you see the cross is actually shaped with words and scripture references. And if you can't, you know, get up close, then you can't see it. So if we displayed it up high on the wall or behind the piano above it or above the television set, which turns out to be our mantle for Christmas, you know, you just wouldn't be able to read that. We think we've settled for right next to the door. People see it as they exit, perhaps. Not sure. We're trying to find just the right place. So it's not that we're not full of gratitude or appreciate it, but there's a delay. But if it never gets displayed, what might that communicate to the giver? What might they think? I have a relative who is particularly hard to buy for. I've often tried to buy gifts for Christmas and his birthday that I think he'd like and that he'd find useful. Tools, coats, sporting goods, etc. And he actually indicated to me at one time or another that he would like those things, that he would love to have those things. At least that's the way I interpreted the way that he would remark over them when we'd be together somewhere and we'd see something like that either advertised on television or in the newspaper or at the actual store that had it, and where he would stop and pause. Oh, wow, look at this. This is cool. Boy, wouldn't that be great to have one of those? Well, boy, I'd make a mental note. And so I bought those things for him. Most of it is still in the box or tucked away in a closet. Now, I believe, I sincerely do, that he was grateful that I cared enough to take note of what I thought that would bless him, and I got it for him. I really do believe that. But when he doesn't use it, it doesn't feel that he's actually grateful for the gift. He's grateful that I cared, that I thought about him, that I did what I did, but I don't get the impression he's really grateful for the gift. Do you understand why? Or maybe once he actually got it, it didn't fit, and rather than return it, he just tucked it away, or maybe he didn't find it as useful as he thought he would. Maybe it didn't work quite like he did. You know, some of those things advertised on TV particularly, they don't always work like they say they will. And that could be true of a lot of things. So I don't know. I do believe he's grateful to me, but not necessarily for the gift. You ever wonder what God thinks if we don't put to use our gifts from him? If we don't display the gifts that he gives to us, whether they be material things or whether they be spiritual gifts, talents, abilities. Have you ever thought that our health is a gift from God? That our opportunities are gifts from God? Do we ever squander them? Do we ever tuck them away? Do we ever neglect them? In the parable of the talents, you can find it in Matthew 25. Jesus refers to one who did that very thing as a wicked, lazy servant. Wow. Now, was the person grateful for the gift? Didn't show it. It tells us in that text that the person was afraid to use the gift. Afraid that maybe he couldn't be a good steward. Jesus chastises him severely for that. And the process, by neglecting God's gifts, that cost him the greatest gift of all, God's eternal presence. Probably shouldn't need to say any more about that. But we should express gratitude to God in our stewardship of the gifts that he's given us. We can do it, and we should do it. Once again, will we? Do we? I would encourage you to express our gratefulness to God in all the ways that we've considered, but in more ways. Don't just say, okay, here's the itemized list. I got to do each one of these now to show my gratitude to God. No, let gratitude fill your heart. The blessings of satisfaction overflow. And express your gratefulness as God moves you through what he's done by moving in your life. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your wonderful blessings and gifts. God, it is true that when we consider all that you have done and all you promised yet to do, it is hard to think of how we might adequately express gratitude. But I think the real problem is when we're trying to pay you back somehow, to pay you, again, that debt that we can't pay, rather than just expressing our gratitude to you. Father, we sang earlier, let your praise ever be on our lips. Let our gratitude ever be in our hearts. Thank you, God, for Jesus. It's his name we pray. Let's stand and sing, There Is a Redeemer. Certainly we have reason to be grateful for that.